Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word, we pray. Grant that there may be thy blessing upon us as we consider it together. And as we look at these things which are related to the future, we pray, our Father, that we may prepare in the present for what is to come in the future, recognizing that the Word of God will not fail. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, you will want to open them to the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we have been considering together as we have been studying what God has to say about the two witnesses who are going to make their appearance during the tribulation. We have attempted to make some suggestions about their identification. We have noticed what their responsibilities are. We discovered that the Antichrist, filled with venom and hatred against them because of their testimony, makes war against them. But he is absolutely powerless against them until their testimony is finished. But when their testimony is finished, the Antichrist slays them, and their dead bodies lie in the streets 3 days. Somebody said, as we began our discussion last time we were together, this is too much. You do not interpret these things literally, surely. This is too much to draw from one passage of Scripture. So we ask you to turn to the 79th the 79th Psalm in the book of Psalms, and we read together a psalm that sounded almost like it was the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And we recognize that indeed these two witnesses will be killed and will be left to lie in the streets of the city for 3 days. We said we were going to notice in this passage of Scripture the low ebb, or the great depth to which the human race had fallen. Will you notice with us, please, now the 9th verse of the 11th chapter? Revelation chapter 11, verse 9, we read, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into the graves." Do you notice what this verse is actually saying? It is saying that the whole world will view this very thing. I never come to this passage of Scripture without a thrill coming to my heart. Oh, no, I'm not thrilled at the thought of dead bodies lying in the streets unburied. I'm thrilled at the thought that the day of the Lord's return and the fulfillment of prophecy draws nearer. 25 years ago or more, when I began to teach the book of the Revelation, I taught certain things that were in the book because they were there. I did not possibly see how they could be, but I believed the Word of God as I believe it today. And I taught them because they were in the Word of God. I taught this very verse that the whole world would be able to see these dead bodies lying in the streets. And I must confess to you that in the early days, when I was teaching the book of the Revelation, it burdened my faith to see how this could possibly be. How would there be time for representatives, at least, from all over the world to get to the city of Jerusalem in 3.5 days to see these dead bodies? I say it strained my faith, but I believed it. But I want to tell you that it doesn't burden my faith anymore, because we are privileged to live in a unique generation. We have, through the modern inventions that are made available to us, the possibility of seeing the fulfillment of the Word of God. I don't know how many of you, and I don't know what word to use, because I don't suppose it was a particular privilege, but I don't know how many of you saw some of the sad events it has been our opportunity to see on television in the last few years. For example, I don't know how many of you saw Jack Ruby kill Lee Oswald. I don't know how many of you saw that on television, but some of us did. The record is that the whole world saw it because it was beamed to the whole world. True, the world wasn't expecting to see it, but they did see it. Now, who would have believed it? Here is a concrete illustration of one of the possible ways that God's word is going to be fulfilled. Personally, I believe that television cameras of all the world will be trained upon the city of Jerusalem because of the unrest that will be there at this particular time. Just as the television cameras were trained upon the Wailing Wall when the Jews taking possession of the city of Jerusalem for the first time since 70 AD celebrated their victories, and the television cameras of the world reported it to the rest of the world. I believe that television cameras will be pointed at the city of Jerusalem as these two witnesses are killed. I believe the cameras will record the incident, and I believe the cameras will be fixed upon the city for 3.5 days as these two servants lie dead in the streets of the city of Jerusalem. I repeat today how my heart thrills with the thought that we are approaching the day when Jesus is coming and his word will be fulfilled. I believe, according to verse 11, that the television cameras of the world will be trained upon these witnesses as suddenly their dead bodies spring to life. For that is exactly what is going to happen. Read Revelation 11:11. After 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and, putting it mildly, great fear fell upon them which saw them. If you were to see that, if the whole world had the opportunity to see these individuals brought back to life, I ask you, how would you be impressed? Well, in verse 12 we read, they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The whole world will see them killed, will see them resurrected, and will see them raptured, because that is exactly what will happen. It will happen according to the word of God. Now, may we suggest to you who are familiar with your Bibles that this is the last installment of the first resurrection. The Bible speaks of two resurrections. One of them it calls the first resurrection, and the other it calls the second resurrection. The first resurrection is in three installments, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. First, there is Christ, the first fruits. This includes the people who were resurrected when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and the graves were opened. Then you remember in 1 Thessalonians 4, we have the second installment of the first resurrection. This is described by the phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then follows the statement, then cometh the end. Literally, that is, then the end ones, or then those that are resurrected at the end time. And this is what I believe the Bible is talking about. These two witnesses are resurrected and raptured to be with the Lord. Many people are of the opinion, and I think it will become clear as we go farther along in our study of the book of the Revelation, that at this time, at the end of the tribulation, all the tribulation saints are resurrected and raptured. God gains his victory over his enemy, the Antichrist. Now, one last thing would I leave with you as we come to the last verse of this paragraph. Will you notice verse 13? At the same hour, there was a great earthquake. There are five earthquakes in the book of the Revelation. This is one of them. They are not concurrent. They are chronologically presented, and here we are told that immediately upon the death and the resurrection and the rapture of these two witnesses, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, that is, the tenth part of the city of Jerusalem, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. Now, for whatever it's worth, this phrase literally translated is, and the names of 7,000 men were slain, indicating that there were 7,000 specific men who were slain in this earthquake. Perhaps some of them were world leaders. We don't know. At least we do know that according to the last statement of verse 13, the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. This is the first time during the tribulation that any glory is given to God. When the other judgments are presented, individuals curse God, shake their fists in the face of God, are angry with God. But when this thing occurs, they give glory to God, but they are not saved. I would suggest to you that this is the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Word of God, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God.